Tired of the negative news and flash over substance? It's time for Today with Dr. Wendy. Dr. Wendy Patrick is a trial attorney, patriot, and PhD with a passion for people and a penchant for politics. Dr. Wendy brings you the headlines, streamlined news you can use. It's time to be informed, engaged, and entertained. Now, here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Good evening, and welcome to another edition of Today with Dr. Wendy. I'm Wendy Patrick, and my co-host Larry Dersham and I are always looking for the top headline stories to bring you fresh every single weekend. And we also look to some of the most interesting guests, and we have a very fascinating guest that we're honored to have on the line today. Larry, who do we have?
AJ Rice is CEO of Publius PR, a premier communications firm in Washington, D.C. Rice is a brand manager, star whisperer, and auteur media influencer who has produced or promoted Laura Ingraham, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Donald Trump Jr., Monica Crowley, attorney and professor of law Alan Dershowitz, and many, many others. And he served as executive producer to Laura Ingraham's 4 years on radio and Monica Crowley for 2 years on her radio broadcast. And in addition to that, some of his current and former clients include conservative groups like the Federalist Society, America First PAC, Freedom Works, and Gun Owners of America. In addition to running Publius, Rice is a columnist for 25 different national media outlets. I don't know how he does it. That's a lot of work. But AJ Rice has recently come out with a new book titled The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture, that we'll be discussing tonight. Welcome to the program, AJ.
Larry, great to be here, brother. Great to talk to your audience. You know, we love Dr. Wendy as well.
Wonderful. AJ, you have such a long list of accomplishments. How did you get into the public relations business and start your company, Publius PR, in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's a lot to live up to. Well, and look, we're not finished yet, are we?
Not at all.
You know, there's professions and there's passions, and I figured out a way to do both at the same time.
Oh, that's...
I mean, look, I was working on Capitol Hill, for a Republican congressman 20 years ago, and I saw an opening on the Laura Ingraham show, basically to be her assistant. And I applied for it, did an interview with the great lady, and within about 6 months, I was the associate producer, and within about 14 months, I was the executive producer.
Wow.
And, you know, and look, I... other than Lee Habib, who's part of the Salem family as well, the audience might know, and he's a radio host in his own right now, he and I produced that show for the first 10 years of his existence. So, Laura's a great friend. She gave me a blurb for the book. It's on the back jacket. You know, her and Monica Crowley kind of raised me in the media world. They kind of pulled me from the river like Moses.
Wow.
So,
fantastic.
You know, a lot of my accomplishments have come from that. I served as a producer of shows for about a decade before I kind of sort of phased out of producing shows and started doing more of what I do now, which is running Publius PR. And look, it helps having, you know, those contacts.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because your audience might not realize this, but guys like Larry and Larry's producer and Wendy, they're getting emails all day from guys like me.
We're trying to put
our guests on this program.
Yep.
So for me as a producer, I was getting emails all day. So all I had to do was sort of reverse engineer that. Instead of being the one receiving the emails, I'm now the one sending them.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Hey, AJ, you have such a wonderful book, and I was, I've read a bunch of the chapters in it. I haven't completely finished it yet, but we're fellow conservatives. Who is seeking to destroy American culture, and why? And why is Joe Biden, who ran for the presidency masked as a conservative, moderate, now hell-bent on erasing our borders, destroying our energy industry, eating at Americans' hard-earned savings through inflation, and even infecting American culture with toxic wokeism at every turn?
Sure. This is not a new fight. This is a 100 years ago fight. The problem is when you're talking about what is wokeism and who out there right now is pushing what I call the Vogue virus, which Elon Musk has called the woke mind virus. At the core of all of this is cultural Marxism.
Yes.
Now, cultural Marxism is not new. It wears a bunch of different types of clothing. It wears the clothing of some of the progressives, you know, around World War I, people like Margaret Sanger, Woodrow Wilson. And then it moves through the post-war era, the 60s radicals, all the way through really into the 90s with the politically correct movement and the Murphy Brown pantsuit mafia, as I like to call them, up until today. And today it comes in many forms. It's kind of like the Crayola 64 box. There's a lot of colors,
yes,
right, in the box. So whether it's the Me Too movement or the trans movement or Black Lives Matter, social justice warriors, at the core of all of this is cultural Marxism.
Yes.
Well, what's that? Well, that is basically, and I'll try to keep it as sweet and short as possible, rather than trying to overthrow the government through some sort of economic policy, through your traditional Marxist policy, they knew because America has a thriving middle class, or at least it did, you weren't going to get a workers' revolt here. You're not going to get a bunch of lumberjacks and longshoremen to overthrow the government. So you had to do it a different way. So what do? After World War I, you begin infecting the newspaper business, the media, the silent picture industry, Broadway, the Democrat Party, the public sector unions. And if you fast forward to today, ladies and gentlemen, these are the people we're fighting right now. We're fighting them right now.
Yes.
They come in all these forms. And the only difference is, with very few exceptions like Elon Musk, big tech is their force field. They pick winners and losers. They pick, you know, they deplatform, they demonetize, they shadow ban, and they decide who the opposition is going to be and who the righteous ones, they're wrapped in their virtue, are going to be.
Exactly.
So, Larry, they activate people. And a lot of the woke or the woking dead, they do sort of shuffle about like zombies following the orders of Antifa, the Me Too movement, the drag brunches, whatever else that they want to do to infect the culture. So, I mean, that is the fight.
Yes.
It's the fight of a lifetime. It's what we should be focused on. A little less focus on Ukraine, a little more focus on this.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. You talk in your book about situational racism. First of all, what is situational racism and how is the left using it to try and tear America apart?
I mean, look, one of the most nefarious flavors of wokeism is this idea that we're going to travel through time and we're going to tear down either Western civilization's icons or America's icons and replace them with something else, something that the woke, something that the left-wing progressives want. Quite frankly, it's a bleak image.
It's yes.
A bleak image. So what they do is they use the mores of today. They use the ruler, the cultural ruler of today, and then they judge the past by today's standards. It's called presentism.
Interesting.
You know, I don't like George Washington because he didn't have a gay friend.
Yes.
Right? I didn't like Teddy Roosevelt because he used this word or that word or Mark Twain
yes.
wrote the N-word and Huckleberry Finn. Whatever it is, it has to be erased.
Exactly.
So when it comes to racism, they're able to use it like pivoting on a basketball court. They can go any direction they want situationally to find the racist in the moment, right?
Exactly.
So it's amazing. I mean, look. A lot of left-wing Jewish Americans, some of them very famous, like comedians, Michael Rappaport, Amy Schumer, Sarah Silverman, they were all shocked to find out that when they were hanging out with all the Bernie Sanders people, all these left-wing radical, international socialists and so on, it never dawned on them that part of their brand was basically to get the Jews. It didn't dawn on them. But they know now, since October 7th, since this attack from Hamas,
yes.
since the fact that Black Lives Matter supports Hamas, that is outrageous. That is outrageous.
Exactly.
And look, Larry, I mean, I'm writing a sequel to The Woking Dead, and I began writing the sequel on the day Hamas and Black Lives Matter had a love fest. I said, here we go. Because the people that study this stuff academically, you know which radicals, because look, totalitarians all get in the rowboat together. They all swim together.
Yes.
I mean, Hitler's the most racist person of the 20th century.
Yep.
And yet he had no problem teaming up with Asian people to try to overthrow Western civilization, the Japanese.
Exactly. Perfect example. Absolutely. You know, it's just amazing. One of the things I worry about, AJ, is the upcoming presidential election this November, because if they can steal an election, there's no limit to what they can do. And basically, it could be that America is over if they're able to steal elections. So how concerned are you about the November presidential election coming up here?
I mean, I'm very concerned because, you know, the last one was a dress rehearsal.
Yes.
So now we're going to go into the totalitarian main event. And, you know, it takes them a little time to perfect this stuff. Look, I work for the Republican Party of Pennsylvania. I'm from Philadelphia. I'm sure the audience can hear that. And when Trump won Pennsylvania at 3 a.m. in 2016, it was like seeing fool's gold become true.
Yes.
And because we were always told Pennsylvania's in play, you know, last-minute rallies by Mitt Romney, last-minute rallies by George W. Bush, Pennsylvania might be in play. And sure enough, Trump delivers it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, once he delivered that, Pittsburgh and Philadelphia and Allentown went to work. They went to work to make sure that it wasn't going to happen 4 years later.
Wow.
And lo and behold, it didn't.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
And with, you know, with Pennsylvania, it's an interesting thing because all you have to do is win those counties around Philly and you've got the state pretty much. And that's where most of the shenanigans were. Delaware County, Chester County. So, yeah, I'm afraid. Now, we're all aware of this now. We saw what happened last time. I'd like to think that we have an organized, you know, group of people willing to push back on this.
Yes.
But it looks to me like the Republican Party, the RNC with Rana, I mean, they don't have any money.
Exactly.
They don't have a team of foot soldiers watching the polls. So it's going to be up to this audience. It's going to be up to this audience.
Absolutely. Hey, AJ, we're running a little bit short on time here. I just want to get this out again. The book is The Woking Dead. Subtitle, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. Of course, they can buy that anywhere books are sold. I checked it out. For example, it's available on Amazon, for example. But is there any website, or what would you recommend our people do to help make sure that the right people get in office this November? Anything we could do? Go to a website or be registered, I guess.
Well, you got to vote.
Yes.
And what you got to remember, too, is that Republicans, conservatives, we virtue signal by thinking that somehow our vote counts twice just because we do it on election day with pride in our little stickers.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Whereas the left is running the score up like in a basketball game for months.
Exactly.
For months.
Yeah.
So we got to get our own people out there.
Yep.
And we got to rattle their cage and wake them up, get them out there and run the score up on them.
Right. AJ, we're up against a hard break. I love hearing your take on things, and we'd love to have you back. Thank you so much, and God bless you, and may you sell a million copies or more of this great book.
Thank you, Larry. You're a patriot.
Okay. Take care, brother.
Thank you so much. Listeners, don't touch that dial. We are coming back in a flash.
News cycle lowlights have no place here. You're listening to the headline highlights on Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.
It's time for more news you can use. The headlines streamline. It's time for more Today with Dr. Wendy. Now here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Good evening and welcome back to Today with Dr. Wendy. I'm Wendy Patrick and my co-host Larry Dersham and I, as always, have a tremendous show. We couldn't figure out whether to talk about Valentine's Day or the Super Bowl or
so much else going on here in February. So we thought we'd do a little of everything. And because it's Valentine's Day this week, Larry, you have dug up some amazingly fascinating traditions from around the world, from some places where celebrating it isn't even legal. What is this about?
Right. Well, okay, well, let's start out with kind of the bad news first, where it's not legal. There's about six countries I have, but I'm just going to focus in now on Malaysia. Since 2005, the government there has issued a religious ruling prohibiting the celebration of Valentine's Day. This day is blamed for being a gateway to disaster and moral decay among young people. In fact, an anti-day Valentine's campaign is also held every year in Malaysia. People go out and celebrate. They might face the risk of being arrested if they're caught celebrating Valentine's Day in Malaysia. So, again, that's kind of the bad news of it. But around the world, elsewhere, it's just good news. It's just filled with love and kindness and all that. Just really quickly, and I'll turn it over to you, Wendy, but in the United Kingdom, they have the anonymous Valentines are still sent to romantic interests. And they started the tradition of giving roses on Valentine's Day in the United Kingdom. That's where it all started, because apparently the flower, you know, roses traditionally are seen as a favorite of Venus, the Roman goddess of love. So that's just some examples right there.
Well, I was very taken with a couple of examples you found that don't necessarily require a significant other. Because that's pretty important. I know lots of people who, you know, aren't really thrilled when Valentine's Day comes along because they're either getting divorced or they're single or they're lonely or they're, you know, they're suffering in the hospital. There's so many different ways in which we really want to make sure we're giving of ourselves on Valentine's Day. And I know that there are some areas where they celebrate a little bit different things. You mentioned some Asian countries, I think, when we were talking earlier, that actually where the women give gifts to men on Valentine's Day, and then there's reciprocity, and usually the month after. But one thing struck me in Finland and Estonia, there's Friends Day that they celebrate on February 14th, where they honor both friends and significant others. And they talk about best friends, neighbors. Obviously, it's also a popular day to get engaged, but it's also an interesting tradition for single people in Estonia, where I guess they take a ride on the love bus, did I get that right, in the hopes of meeting someone special? I wonder what goes on there.
Yeah, it's kind of like that old TV show, The Love Boat, I guess. I guess there's a bus over there. Are in those two countries.
It's a little bit different than that. That's funny.
Finland and Estonia. But when you think about it, Wendy, it's just another day of the week. In fact, this time, it's always on February 14th, at least here in the United States, and I think in most other Western countries. And this time it falls on a Wednesday. Which is just another day of the weekend. When you think about it, all the media hype we hear advertising on the radio when we're driving or on TV, in a sense, it kind of makes us feel a little bit guilty if we're not doing something special on those days. And I just think people should kind of get rid of those feelings, because it is just another day. It's a work day, in fact. So there's a couple ideas that I came up with. One thing you could do is, this is like for people that are single, just some ideas. You know, go to a movie, a great movie. I don't get out that much because I'm a grandparent now to see movies, but I love going to movies. And my favorite is to go to a concert. Now, this Wednesday, the 14th, I don't know, wherever you're listening to this broadcast, I'm not sure if there's concerts available, but one of my favorite things in life is to go to a live concert of a band or a group or a singer that you really admire. And another thing, Wendy, is give yourself a beauty treatment. Now, you're going to laugh at this, Wendy, but my wife and my daughter, actually, this was about 4 months ago, took me to a nail shop. It was out of the blue because of, I don't know. And I, for the first time ever, I went with my wife. I mean, she was sitting in the chair next to me. But I shouldn't admit this on the radio. I had my nails done. Not my toenails, but my fingernails. And it was kind of cool. Have you ever had your nails done? Should I ask?
And you know, I have had men tell me the very same thing, because it feels good. It's clean. It's classy. They're professionals. And, you know, there's nothing worse than somebody with dirt under their nails. And some of the people I know say, hey, I like to work on my classic cars. It's my hobby. It helps me relax. Or, you know, I was picking up trash on the beach up for charity. There's lots of ways in which we get dirty. And I've had men tell me the same thing. I have not had a man tell me he had his toenails done. So thank you for the disclaimer there. But I suppose it would feel the same way for the same reasons. And Larry, I have to say, you also have this idea of cooking a romantic dinner for your parents and helping them celebrate their relationship. And I would guess, you know, maybe if you're a single mom, maybe you cook a romantic dinner for your son and his wife, or your daughter and her husband. I mean, there are so many ways in which you can pour into the lives of others on Valentine's Day if you, for whatever reason, find yourself currently single. And I love that idea, because it's not like pretending the day doesn't exist. I mean, God knows you can't go anywhere with trying to pretend that's not going to happen. There are balloons and candy. I mean, it's all over the place. It's like pretending the Super Bowl's not coming.
I know it. I know it, Wendy.
Might as well get into it for, you know, celebrating somebody else.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know if this makes any difference at all, but it only comes, I think it's every 4 years. This year is leap year, so we have an extra day in February. And isn't it some tradition that women can ask the man out, for example? It's, it kind of flips things around on leap year. Is that true, or am I imagining that?
The fact that we live in 2024 means a woman can ask a man out.
Oh, absolutely. No, you're right. You're right.
I would probably say the same thing 20 years ago. But, you know, there's lots of leap year traditions, like there are Valentine's Day traditions. But I also think this, the Valentine's Day, I like what you said about it is on a certain date. It's not like the last Sunday and whatever, if you're talking about Easter or something like that. It's also a great opportunity to see some really cool specials on television. I don't mean Hallmark that's going to make, you know, get all sappy for people that are single. But I mean, there's a lot of really interesting historical traditions, because many of us love history, like you've just mentioned. And I think you even have some information on where did this tradition actually come from.
Oh, Valentine's Day? Oh, yeah, that's quite interesting. It started a long time ago, and again, it's celebrated pretty much all over the Western world. The legend of St. Valentine, it's shrouded in mystery, Wendy. The Catholic Church recognizes at least three saints named Valentine or Valentinus, all of whom were martyred, which is not that great of a thing. One legend says that Valentine was a priest who served the 3rd century in Rome when Emperor Claudius II decided single men made better soldiers than those with families. So he outlawed marriage. Well, Valentine or Saint Valentine continued to perform marriages in secret, causing Claudius to order he be put to death. Now, other stories suggest that Valentine was killed for attempting to help Christians escape Roman prisons. And then there's another one that says that the jailer's daughter, because he was in prison, was kind of in love with him, or they were in love with each other, I should say. And before his death, he is said to have written a letter to her, and he signed it, "From your Valentine." So depending on which one you want to believe. So it goes back way back in time. And some of these things, it's hard to tell which is the fact and which is the myth. But it's kind of definitely a Western tradition.
Well, let's turn our attention to something that most people love to watch about this time of year. And that is tomorrow's Super Bowl. You have a favorite team?
I would have to go with the 49ers just because... you know, we're in California. That's where we broadcast from. But the Kansas City Chiefs actually won the Super Bowl the last time these guys faced off, I believe, against the 49ers. And but that's kind of my pick. And then my favorite is the advertisements, for sure, and the halftime show. And this halftime, they have a gentleman really incredibly famous. His name is Usher. But I got to tell you, Wendy, I may not watch any of the Super Bowl, and this is totally, it doesn't represent you or the station or anybody else, in my personal opinion. They're playing something called the Black National Anthem. I love my black brothers and sisters. But I think that separates, that's kind of a discrimination, that's kind of bigotry, in my opinion. We have one national anthem in the United States, and that's the one I'm sticking with. And the fact that they're trying to divide us, in my opinion, by having this national anthem for a certain race is not appropriate. And it doesn't heal race relations at all. It's divisive. And so I'm a little bit ticked off about that, Wendy, I got to say.
Well, I'll tell you, a lot of people don't even realize there's a Super Bowl going on. They just know that Taylor Swift is coming to town. And the Swifties were making jokes and filming and saying, you know what, is there a game? All we know is that Taylor Swift's coming again. Maybe she'll sing a song in the parking lot. I don't know. But I do also have to say it's interesting that Valentine's Day and the Super Bowl is the same week, because God forbid somebody is depressed on Valentine's Day. Hey, wait a couple more days and enjoy the excitement of the Super Bowl. So we want to wish all of our listeners a wonderful weekend. Have a great Sunday. I hope your team wins. And don't eat too much, even if you do get gather with family. We will see you again next Saturday night, 6 p.m., where we will have another group of timely topics. Between now and then, God bless you and your families. Have a great week.
Thank you for joining us for Today with Dr. Wendy. You can learn more about Dr. Wendy and how to become a guest or sponsor of the show by visiting WendyPatrickPhD.com. That's WendyPatrickPhD.com. Tune in every week at this same time as Dr. Wendy will engage and inspire you with an upbeat viewpoint on the highlights of the day. This has been Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.